Well, it's that time again, the time that we celebrate all the wonderful women that helped us be all we can be. I'm talking about moms. So moms...
M is for the many things she gave me.
Hey, hello, what you doing,
I just thought we might do a song for the moms for Mother's Day. Hi, moms, Hi, mommy, this is for you, mommy. M is for the many things she gave.
We get it. M is for the many things she gave us. We get it, that's very cute,
Oh, you're pretty quick for a bald guy. Everyone join in. Oh, means
I just thought that we'd do a heartwarming message for all the moms out there instead of a campy little song.
Oh, means that I owe her all I
Okay. You do it your way, I will do it my way. Moms, we owe you so much. Thank you for being there.
T is for her tender, sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made a home. You've made a home. You've made a home. Home on the range.
Okay, stop it.
She did make a home on the range. You probably called it like a stove, but we had a range at my house.
That word home, oh, that means so much. We still long to be in your presence. We still long for you to be proud of us. And yes, we still long to come home.
Okay, this isn't working.
What?
No. You're faking it.
I am not.
You're forcing the
tears. No, it's real.
No. This does not work in any way. This works. The song works. This does not work.
I just thought we'd speak from the heart. That's what moms want.
You know what? Mom always liked you best anyway.
We don't even have the same mom.
He's everything you've done to help me. Like that time you helped me find my shoes in first grade and in college. And there was that time also that Tammy Cornball broke up with me. Crazy last name, right? But she was really a sweet girl until she broke up with me. And I was sad, but you made me feel better. You brought in some chocolate chip cookies and some milk. And you made, you know what? What can make me feel this way, mother? Talking about my mom, mommy.
And R stands for right. And right you always shall be, right in our eyes, right with the values that you instilled in us so sacrificially, and right in how you taught us to love God and love others. And so, mothers, today we say to you...
Put them all together, they spell mother, the word that means the world to me, the word that means the world to mama. Didn't mean to make you cry when I said I didn't like your meatloaf when I was five. It's not my fault, it needed salt, but that doesn't really matter. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there today. How many know moms have the toughest job in the world? Any mothers say amen? Come on, ladies, that's a cue. I can tell you this, that when I step in the role of trying to be Mr. Mom just for a few hours, I am ready to clock out of that job. But how many know mothers don't get a chance to clock out? They can't just punch your time card in and out. That once you're a mom, you're always a mom. Always on call. For every little bump and boo-boo, from every little problem to every little tear to every little rejoicing. It's a great role, no greater high in calling I can think than to be a parent. But today, we know moms today, all around the world are being celebrated, and we celebrate you, Mom, today. Let's give our mothers a hand clap one more time. Today, I want to talk to you, and this is not only to mothers, but to also to dads and to anybody in the room. I believe that there's going to be some nuggets you're going to be able to get out of this as well. But I'm going to center my talk on the thought of, let's take this thing to a whole mother level. How many are ready to go to a whole mother level, okay? Now, come on, that's a better title than that clap right there. We need to go to a whole mother level. See, the problem is this, that many of us are living our lives sleepwalking through it. Really. And that's the truth. You get into the routine. You got to get up, Mom. You got to get the kids ready for school. You get them ready to go to the sitter before you go to work. And then you drop them off. And then you go to work. Then you run to get them from the sitter from school. And then you come home and get homework done. You get laundry caught up. You got to get the house clean. You try to get dinner cooked. Try to get the dishes washed. Try to get kids bathed. and get them to their game or get them to their performance or so much going on. And the time you get into bed, you got 15, 20 minutes to yourself before you crash and say, I am so tired. I cannot do this again. Only to wake up and repeat it day after day after day after day. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in this sleepwalking trance. But we're present, we're going through the motions, but are we really in tune with what's going on? Dads, we're just as bad. We get up and do our job and got things going on, and we're running around, but we're going through the motions. Are we really, really there? You see, I want to talk to you today about Hannah. We're going to look at her life, and I believe we can gain some spiritual insight that's going to challenge all of us from this story. And Hannah was in a time before she had Samuel where Israel was in a state of sleepwalk. They had spiritually, God had quit talking to them. Samson had just died, their hero, and now they're in a state where God's not talking, is what the scripture says. I really believe that God was talking. I just believe nobody was listening, because the Bible's full. It says God is always talking, but are we listening? And so he was going through a time, Israel was going through a time when no great prophet could hear God. They couldn't discern the will of God. They couldn't hear the voice of God. Nobody was giving them direction. And it was a really hard time. They were kind of in this sleepwalk. You see, what happens is this, is that Satan is back rejoicing because he had Israel exactly where he wanted them. And it's really the place that he longs for you and I to be as a Christian. If he can get you and I, rockin' my baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. I'll go through my life. Just sleep like in Wong. Kind of getting that spiritual trance where you don't really know what's happening. You're just kind of going through the motions. You're not hurting him, and you're not doing anything against him. You're kind of just in that sleepwalking zone where you're just going through the motions. It's a dangerous place to be. I believe that many of us, even as Christians today, find ourselves walking through life. Sleepwalking through our parenthood, sleepwalking through our schools, sleepwalking through our jobs. And I believe today God is wanting us to wake up, smell the coffee, and realize we have a greater destiny in life just to sleepwalk our way through. So we're talking about going to this whole mother level. Hannah went to a different level. Let's talk about Hannah today. Why was she different? Well, 1 Samuel 1 and 2. We see this story begin to unfold. It says there was a certain man whose name was Elkanah. Now, I don't know if he was a great hunter or not. Maybe he's a great elksman. I don't know. But his name was Elkanah. I just think that's a manly name right there. We need to have more men named that. Elkanah. It's kind of a manly name. Just another side note. Okay. But he had two wives. How many know this man needs a prayer? He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Now, I want you to see, as God unfolds the story here in Scripture for us to look at the story, what's happening is here is that Elkanah has two wives, obviously. One can get pregnant just by winking at her husband, and the other can't get pregnant to save her life. And as much as she wants to get pregnant, she's not able to have children. And why Peninnah can just think about getting pregnant and get pregnant. Now, that's not actually what happens, kids, in case you're wanting to know. But you understand where I'm going with this. And what happened here is this, is that Peninnah had children, Hannah had none. Now, the reason why this is such a big deal, we know how tough that is today. Even today, if you are wanting to be a parent, and when it doesn't happen, we know that's a very painful thing emotionally to go through. I understand that. My wife and I went through that for many years where we were having a hard time getting pregnant. And when we did get pregnant, we suffered 3 miscarriages. So we understand the trials of going through that when you're wanting something. And so there's a lot of pain, a lot of emotional pain that goes along with that. But more than just the emotional pain, in this day, children were considered the badge of honor. And if you didn't have children, people looked at you and said, yeah, why does she not have children? Because God must not like her. She must have done something really bad. She must have sinned really bad in her life, and God is punishing her for not having children. This is what they thought. This is what they passed on. Someone in her family sinned greatly. So it became this thing of shame. And not only does she have that public humiliation taking place from not having children, but now the other wife, Phanuel, Scripture says that when she was in public, Phanuel would mock her. I mean, you're talking about claws coming out. You're talking about mean girls all over again. These girls were attacking each other. And Phanuel would attack her and brag about how many kids she had and how she was barren, how Hannah was barren, and she made fun of her publicly, not just behind closed doors, but publicly. She would make fun of her, embarrassing her, degrading her, publicly humiliating her. So you can understand the bitterness inside. You can understand the weight that Hannah was carrying. So how was Hannah different? Let's pick the story back up. And we just talked about it here. Let me talk about this in 1 Samuel. So how does she respond? In 1 10 of chapter 1 and 11, it says, this is Hannah's prayer. Now, what had happened here is Elkanah takes his family to Shiloh to pray. They're at the Shiloh praying, and Hannah goes to the altar, and this is what she says to the Lord. In bitterness of the soul. Now, ladies, can you understand that? I mean, you talk about if anybody had a reason to be bitter, she did. To go through everything she was going through in her life, to be humiliated, to feel like she's barren, to have everybody talking about her, everybody staring at her, everybody stereotyping her, to be mocked by the other wife. There's no wonder she was bitter. And we can understand why. But how does she handle her bitterness? We find out here. She cried out, in the bitterness of her soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Now, we see this actually translating to say that she actually travailed much before God. That means she was moaning before God. You ever been crying so hard you didn't know what to say? This is kind of what she's happening. She's trying to pray, but she's crying so hard. She's pouring out her heart in bitterness at the altar. And she made a vow, saying, "Oh Lord Almighty, if you will, only look upon your servant's misery and remember me. Not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." I love her response here. She takes all the bitterness she's facing and she forms it into a prayer. You know, she could have took all that bitterness and took a right hook and just knocked that other girl out. And we'd all laugh and said, way to go. She had it coming, right? But she does the spiritually mature thing, and she takes her frustration and her bitterness, and she takes it to the altar and begins to give it to God. And with all her bitterness, it says her heart opens up, and basically what she says, "God, if you'll give me a son, I will do everything in my power to say I will give him back to you to be used for your will." And ultimately what she's saying is, "God, not my will, but yours be done. He is for your glory. If you give me a son, it will be for your glory. Ultimately, it's for your will." You see, if we're struggling today with this whole concept of when is my baby going to come and when am I going to have children, sometimes we got to look and say, "God, we got to learn to say, I've got to give it to you. Where do I ride? Does it mean I don't want one?" Yes, God knows your heart's desires, and he understands it. But our prayer has got to be that God is moving us to a point when we're struggling in these areas. What is the right spiritual stance, Pastor? The right spiritual stance is this, that God, you know how bad I want this. But even so, I say this, God, not my will, but yours be done. I give it into your hands, your timing. God, if you choose for me to be a parent, then Father, I accept that in your timing. If you choose for me to adopt, I'll accept that road. If you choose for me to have a different road, even though I don't like it, and even though I don't understand it, I say yes. So whatever you ask me to do, I will follow that plan for my life. It's turning over our will to God. It's saying, I want to take this bitterness that's building up inside. I don't want to be the kind of person when somebody else starts rejoicing because they're pregnant, that I'm like, "Ugh, I want to pull their hair out." Pastor, you talk like you've been there. Yeah, we've been there. I understand. I understand your frustration, and you're not alone. You're not alone, and God understands you, okay? God understands you, but we got to take and channel that bitterness inside and say, "God, I got to learn to put that thing to prayer and to give it to you and turn it over to you." She said, "Not my will, but yours be done, Father." Where we see that attitude at? Oh, it was Jesus in the garden. He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Remember, he taught us to pray this way. Not our will, Father, but yours be done. See, there was something different about Hannah's spirit. When everybody else is crazy, because what's going on now is Eli, the high priest, he's crazy. He can't hear God. God's trying to talk, and he's not discerning. He looks at Hannah at the altar. This is what happens. Talking about crazy. Here's the high priest. Hannah's down there praying, pouring out her heart to God, and Eli says,
that girl's drunk.
That's what he said. He thought she was drunk. In the meantime, Eli's own sons, he has two sons, who are under him in training in the temple. You know what happens? They're in the back getting drunk on the ceremonial wine that was supposed to be used for communion. They're taking the communion wine. They're getting drunk. They're sleeping with the girls who are working in the temple. And they're making a mockery of everything that God had called sacred in that place. And Eli is worried about Hannah being drunk. And his own sons are going crazy. Talk about sleepwalking through life. Eli had no grip. He had no discernment of his own family. He couldn't even understand when Hannah was trying to cry out to God. See, it don't make a difference whether you're the high priest, you're the pastor, you're a leader, you're a Christian. It doesn't make a difference. You can find yourself sleepwalking through life if you're not careful. And today I'm here to tell you that God wants to want you to sleepwalk through life. He wants you to discern the will of the Father for your life. He wants you to know what's going on in your children's lives. He wants you to wake up and see what's happening. So Eli's sleepwalking through his life, both parentally, emotionally, spiritually. And Hannah, what's her thing? Her response is, God, not my will, but yours be done. She's turning them over to him. Why as parents do we really want children? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves today. Why as parents do we really want kids? Do we want kids just to fulfill our lost dreams? Well, I hope I have a son that can raise up and make it to the NBA one day. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. If you didn't make it to the NBA, there's a high chance your son won't make it to the NBA. I hate to break it to you. I want to have a son so that I can fulfill. Listen, I'm right there because my wife tells me all the time, you can't live your dreams through your kids, Gene, okay? Like I would ever do that. Come on. Me? Never. Why do you want to have kids? Is it so we can live our dreams through our kids? Do we want to have kids so we can dress them up like our mini-me? So that people can laugh when you leave the room? And say, in 20 years, that's going to be on Facebook. Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Anyway, why do you want children? Is it so you have someone to play catch with? Do we want kids so that we have someone to mow our yard? Amen? What's the true, I'm just asking, what is the true desire behind having kids? Because, see, I believe Hannah had it right here. She took this whole thing to a whole mother level. She took it to another level. By why? She says, no, my desire to have kids is just not for my own benefit. My desire to have kids is that they may grow up a disciple of Jesus and glorify the Father. Listen, parents, ultimately, this is our main responsibility, is to wake up and to say, my responsibility is to train my children to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is why I have kids. Hannah says, this is why I desire that I can turn him over to the house of the Lord, that he can be serve the Lord all the days of his life. Stop sleepwalking through life. Look what Ephesians says in chapter 5.
Wake up!
Turn to your neighbor real loud and say, wake up! How many said it to somebody who was actually sleeping? Anybody? Okay. I saw three of you back there asleep. All right. Wake up, oh sleeper! rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most. Listen, we got to make the most of every opportunity. This is with our kids, okay? Making the most with every opportunity. This is at our job. This is at our school. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, Hannah knew this. Hannah was realizing what God's will really was. She realized what God's will was really going on. So today, I'm here to sound the spiritual alarm. And don't hit the snooze, please. Because the Holy Spirit is here today to sound the alarm saying, wake up. Let's wake up. Let's don't sleepwalk through life. Let's realize we got a greater destiny lying ahead of us. We got to take advantage of every opportunity. Who am I influencing? Where is my light shining today? Because the most important thing we'll leave to our children is not houses. It's not money in the bank. It's not titles. The most important thing we can leave our children is a godly heritage, that they be raised to know that God is Lord of their life. And they are disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. The most important thing. I'm all for athletic accomplishments. I'm all for honor rolls. I'm all for achievement and awards and promotions. I'm all for financial security. I'm all for those things. There's nothing wrong in those things by themselves. But we got to make sure that we're not sleepwalking along and putting certain things above anything else. I read a stat the other day that just blew me away. Out of every kid that goes to church this year in the United States, out of every child who goes to the church, only 30% of them will go at least every other week. Only 30% of all the children who go through the doors of the church this year, only 30% will go at least 50% of the time. The rest are only there every 6 to 8 weeks, only there on holidays. And we've got to realize that we got to wake up. We got to change our priorities. We got to make sure we're changing our perspective. How many know the greatest thing we can give our children is our time? Let me say again, the greatest thing we can give our children is our time. Well, Pastor, you're not preaching to me. I don't have kids. Well, go volunteer somewhere. There's a big brother and big sister who'd love to have you a part of their ministry. People need Christian influences, big brothers and sisters. If you don't have children, go volunteer, be a big brother and sister to somebody. Train somebody, influence somebody, love somebody. Listen, we have a great opportunity to influence people. What are we doing? What are we making a difference? Eli had no discernment. So what happened? God gave Hannah the answer to her prayer. She gave her a son named Samuel, which his name means God has heard. Listen, ladies. God hears every cry. He hears every prayer. He sees every tear. It's not in vain that he understands. She named him Samuel, that God has heard. Eli had no discernment. Eli had no discipline. Eli had no boundaries. So what did God do? He raised up Samuel to take the place of Eli. It was Samuel who anointed David king, because God was raising David to take the place of Saul. Are you seeing a pattern here? Let me tell you this, parents, if we don't take the responsibility of raising up our children to be followers of Jesus Christ, to follow after God's will for their life, God will raise somebody else up in their spot. He'll raise somebody else up in your spot. I don't want to miss it. I want to say, God, I want to train. I want to be a heart that's listening to your voice. I want to train my children up to know the most important thing in life is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel 1:28. Look what it says here. Look at her prayer. So now I give him to the Lord. Samuel's been born. Look what she says. I now give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And what happened? Samuel worshiped the Lord there from that point on. Now, as they study this out, we find out that sometime after he was weaned from his mother's milk, from an age of around 4 or 5 years old, she then took him to the church and dropped him off to live at the church. Now, I want to make it very clear today, as you hear this story, please don't bring your kids and drop them off to Pastor Gene. Please don't misinterpret this story. I will take your kids. I will sell them on eBay. I promise you. We'll have a fundraiser. I got 5 of my own. I can't handle any more. Any parents say amen. You understand what I'm saying? This is not what we're talking about. He's not talking about this. Listen, this is not what the scripture is saying. We got to bring our kids and give them to the church. But I want you to hear this. As parents, this is the most important thing. Look at this statement. Don't give your kids to the church, but give your church to the kids. One more time. We need to give our church to the kids. This is the most important gift that we can give them. Not just to know who Jesus is, but to experience who Jesus is. Not just to know of him, but to serve him. Consistent. To say, I want God's will above anything else in my life. How do we do that? We keep them planted in the house of the Lord as much as possible. We have them here as much as possible. We have them involved in the children's ministries as much as possible. We have them involved in the youth ministries as much as possible. We have them involved in young adult ministries as much as we can. We have them involved in the house of the Lord and the things of God as much as we can. Why? Because I want to raise their perception. I want them to have a heart after God. I want them to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. I want them to take missions trips. I want them to do missions work. I want them to grow up to be worship leaders and pastors and doctors and infant teachers and workers and educators, people who are influencing their community with Jesus Christ. I want people who see the big picture as disciples of Jesus. This is what Jesus wants. Hannah said, God, I'll give them to you all the days of my life. What's our desire with our kids? Well, I've got to get them notarized, and I got to get them published, and I got to get them this opportunity. Listen, I'm not against those things. You know that I'm not, because my kids are involved in a lot of those things. But we have got to be guardians. Listen, parents, we're called to be guardians of the spiritual climate of our home. Dads, moms, we're called to be guardians and say, are we training them up in the house of the Lord as much as we can? Let's give them something to believe in, to have discernment in their life. It's time for us to wake up. How many know that we need to save our kids before they need saving? Let me say it again. We need to learn to save our kids before they need saving. Told the first service this, and I'll say it again today. That's why when we build a new church, there'll be no expense spared when it comes to our children and youth facilities. We'll do the best we can. The very best. I mean, we'll stretch it to the very best we can. Why? Because we want to save a generation before they need saving. How many believe in that today? You believe in that? We're called, and we do this all together. We're all called to do this together. Even if you don't have children, you're called to teach and lead and to serve, train. We need you. It takes a church to raise these children. We need to do it together. I love it that some of the closest people in my children's life, besides their parents, is you. And you're influencing them. And we're doing it together. And I'm influencing your kids. And we're backing each other up. And we're supporting each other. And when one falls, we're picking the other one up. And helping each other out, because we all fall and we all struggle. We're connected. I love this in Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. Look what it says. The boy ministered. This is the boy. Okay, so Hannah drops off Samuel. And look what he does now. Now Samuel ministered before the Lord under who? Eli, the priest. What is happening here? Samuel begins to serve under Eli, who has no spiritual discernment. He thought his mom was drunk. Eli's sons are getting drunk, sleeping with the girls who are working in the church, and they're going crazy. But yet, Samuel comes and serves under his authority. This is a really important thing. Hand me that umbrella a second. We must realize that one of the things that we struggle with today, it's been something for the last couple of years here at Destiny. We've taught on it off and on. It's been this thought of honor. It's a lost cause in the church that's losing, not only in America, but also now it's creeping over into the church. We're losing this lost cause of submitting to authority. We challenge authority on every end. We teach our children to do the same. The reason why they're not making good grades is because that teacher does not know how to teach, right? That's the teacher's fault. It's not their fault. And then we badmouth the teacher, and they never learn how to submit to the authority of the teacher. They get sent to the principal. The principal has it in for them. The principal doesn't like their brother, doesn't like them. Now it's the principal's fault. They want to quit the team because the coach doesn't like them, doesn't play them enough. And then they get a job, and they want to quit every job because they don't like the boss, because the boss has it in for them. Never learning to submit to the authority. Never learning how to honor people. Let me tell you this. There's been a lot of times I've had to honor those over me that I didn't respect. But I had to submit to them because I knew it was the right thing to do. And God honors that. So I want you to get the picture today. We've got to teach our children what it means to come under authority. See, when I step under God's authority for my life, I'm also stepping under authority of my parents. I'm also stepping under authority of those who are over me. And as long as they're not asking me to do anything that's against God's word, then I have to submit to that no matter how old I am. Are you following me here? Well, when I do this, I submit and I get under God's authority so I can get over the things God wants me to be over. And the reason today you never get your break, the reason today you never get your promotion, the reason today that you never get your big promotion is this, because you have never learned to submit and honor those God is trying to place over you. So how can He put you on top of anybody else when you won't serve those that you're called to be under? Oh, that's good right there. Now turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor Gene really loves this. He really does. I promise you. He always preaches it really light. This is like the hardest thing he's ever said, ever. You know better than that, right? Sometimes we just got to tell it like it is. Sometimes we struggle with this. I understand that. But what's happening now is because we're moving this way, our children are going to the extreme. And there is no honor there. We got to learn to submit back and honor those God has put in authority. And when I do that, I place myself in a position for God to elevate me. Students, listen to me. Honor your parents. Even when you don't like it. Even when you don't agree with it. Even when you don't respect it. You will never get where God wants you to be until you learn to honor. We gotta honor. It starts with our parents. It starts with our teachers. It starts with those God puts over our life. It starts with those civil leaders who are over us. Even though I may not respect everything that goes on, I still learn to honor them. And when I honor, I unlock the blessing. Here's Samuel honoring Eli, even though Eli was crazy. Eli had no discernment. But what happened? God used it. The scripture goes on to say that from that point on, that God began to use Samuel greatly to what he was considered at a young age the greatest prophet in the land of Israel. Why? Because he learned how to honor. You can't go around talking about every pastor in town and expect your kids to do the same thing. It's going to happen. We got to learn to honor. We got to learn to honor. Are you following me today? Are you receiving it today? All right, we're getting ready to close. Thank you for those two amens. Everybody else is just under conviction, I guess, all right? Let's read this last part of this story. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 5. And let me just give it to you and paraphrase it for you. Samuel was there. He hears in the middle of the night saying, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs into Eli's, where Eli's at. He says, yes, Lord, I'm here. Eli says, go back to sleep, kid. You're hearing things. He goes back to sleep and he hears a voice calling, Samuel, Samuel. And he gets up and he runs back in. He says, yes, Eli, I'm here. Eli's like, dude, I'm not calling you. Go back to bed. And he goes back to bed and he comes back in. Here's the voice again, Samuel, Samuel. He runs back into Eli and says, Eli, what do you want? Eli says, dude, I am not. Wait. I'm not calling you, but you're in the house of the Lord, so it must be God calling you. Next time you hear the voice, just say, yes, Lord, here am I. Speak. And so, sure enough, he goes back to his room and he hears the voice cry out, Samuel, Samuel. He says, yes, Lord, here am I. Speak to me, Lord. And then God begins to speak to him. This is an amazing thing here because we see Samuel learning to hear the voice of God. And from that point on, he was raised up to become the greatest prophet in the land of Israel. He anointed King David. What a powerful place he has in our biblical history. When nobody else in the nation of Israel could hear God's voice, this young man could. Why? Because Hannah had a different spirit. See, Hannah took her whole motherhood, she took it to a whole mother level. Are you following me today? We want to raise up children who can hear the voice of God. When others can't hear it, your child can hear the voice of God. When others don't honor, your child learns to honor. When others don't walk in the blessing, your child will walk blessed because you have taught them how to submit to authority. You've taught them how to honor authority, and you've taught them how to be planted in the house of God and how to hear the voice of God. It'll change their world. And people will look and say, that is a blessed person right there. It's a blessed child right there. That's a blessed teenager. That's a blessed young adult. Something was different. It started in the parenthood. The father and mother's in that room. So I ask you the question today in closing. As our magicians come. Moms and dads, are you training up the next Samuel? Moms and dads, are you training up the next Billy Graham? Are you training up the next worship leader? The next pastor? The next missionary? The next businessman and woman? The great evangelist who evangelizes their job, their school, their workplace? Are we training our kids to hear God's voice? Are we ready to go to a whole mother level? I don't know about you, but I'm challenged today by this word from the Lord. I'm challenged to make sure that I am training my children up. I pray that Hannah's spirit will be all over me, that I can be raise my children up with the same attitude, that I would check myself and say, God, am I really putting the most important things first in their life? I can tell you I try, but I know I can do better. And truth be known, many of you here can say the same thing, that you know you need to, and you have at times, but I'm sure that all of us check our heart, we can do a better job putting God first in our kids' lives. What a great responsibility we have. Let's bow our heads. Today, if you're here, I want to ask you the question that I asked the first service. I want to ask you here today. Say, Pastor, I'm here too. I don't know why, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling at my name today, and I feel my heart. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to learn to serve Christ with everything within me. Nobody's looking around but me right now, and we won't embarrass you one bit. But if you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, with nobody looking and nobody moving, if that's you today, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Can you just raise your hand and say, it's me, Pastor? Thank you. Anybody else? Say, today's my day. Thank you, guys. I see that. Anybody else? I see those hands in the back as well. If you haven't raised it, I'm going to ask you one more time. Raise it right now where I can see it. Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready. Today's my day. Accept Jesus. Thank you. We're going to say a prayer today. As Christians, we're going to say it along with those who raised their hands. We're all going to say it out loud together to help you along. So let's say this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you all of my heart, all of my life, everything I have, every part of me belongs to you today. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today and you meant it from your heart, we say, welcome to the family of God. Let's give him a hand. That's a big deal. Very big deal today. Now today, I want to invite every lady, every woman in the house. Could you join me in the front today? As we close out today, I want to invite all the ladies. Every lady in the house, I want you to join me around the front. I want to pray for you today. This is a corporate prayer over you. We want to honor you today. Come on into the front, ladies, today. All the ladies, come on into the front today. Travis, you're welcome to join us anytime, buddy. Come on, ladies, squeeze into the front. Squeeze in, make room for those coming in behind you there. Thank you so much. Wow, you guys are beautiful. Man, what a beautiful bunch of ladies. God has really blessed us here at Destiny Church with some great ladies and women of God. Today, I just want to pray over you. As your pastor and as your spiritual covering today, can I pray over you? I believe today that God wants to increase your faith to a whole mother level. Whether you're a mother or you're not today, you've got a mother spirit inside you. Okay. Some of you here, you're carrying that burden, and today the Holy Spirit's going to allow you to release it. Some of you here today, God's challenged you to wake up and to take more active role. And some of you here today, you're not there yet, but you know you're influencing other people. And you're like, I gotta be a greater influence. I gotta be a greater light. God has put that in you today. But some of you are stuck at situations. Some of you are stuck over abuse to happen or a hurt to happen. Some of you are stuck out of divorce. Some of you are stuck over self-image. Some of you are stuck at different reasons. And I'm here to tell you today, those are all lies from the enemy. Today, that there is freedom in our Savior. There's freedom in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You are wonderfully, beautifully, individually made for His glory. So today, Father, I pray over every lady in this house today. God, I come against any spirit of negativity, any spirit of self-doubt about our image and how we're made. And Father, right now, I pray, Lord, that your spiritual confidence will begin to flow through their heart today. May they feel the love that only comes from the Father, that you love them so much. I come against any spirit of depression. I come against any spirit of fear. I come against any spirit of doubt. I come against any spirit of rejection. I reject that spirit in the name of Jesus. And I pray right now for mental freedom, spiritual freedom, emotional freedom in Jesus' name. That God, they begin to see themselves as beautiful people that you have created. Women of destiny. Women with a voice. Whoever has stole their voice, I come against that in the name of Jesus. I speak right now that you will give them their voice back. You will give them their heart back, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you'll allow them to speak over their children, to speak over other people's children, to speak over their friends, to be in the influence, that you will raise up women of God who don't see their self-worth on how many likes they give from a photo, but they know their self-worth comes through the scripture, which says, I am wonderfully, fearfully made as a beautiful creature of God. And Father, right now, I come against any spirit, Lord, that would take away from these beautiful women. And God, I speak over them right now, a spirit of freedom, freedom of empowerment in your spirit, freedom to go to another level. May we not go through our lives sleepwalking, pulling behind us baggage from our past. But today, we cut it loose and say, we're going to be the Hannahs. We're going to lay it at the altar. We're going to allow the bitterness to come out. And now we're going to turn it to prayer. And we're going to be a woman of prayer, a woman after your will. It says, God, not my will, but yours be done. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release that in Jesus' name over every lady in this house today. Over every woman in this house today, over every young girl in this house today, I release that in Jesus' name.
no longer a prisoner to past, no longer a prisoner to family, no, anything that's happened in the past. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're raising up a new breed. You're raising up a woman in this house who is seeing the light of God, seeing the love of God invade their life today. You're wrapping your arms around them in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to raise your hands to God if you feel comfortable doing it today. Say, God, I give you all of my life today as we sing to you today. Come on, Joe.
Our God, He lives forever. And He reigns in power and love. So let earth bow down before Him. Give all exalted. So we look to Yahweh, forever Yahweh, ooh.
Ladies, listen, I love every one of you here. I want you to know how much you're loved, okay? I want you to turn to somebody. Just give them a big hug. Can you just turn around and give someone a big hug, ladies? Round and round. Just say, I love you. Come on, give someone a big hug. We celebrate you today. You guys go blessed of the Lord. You guys have a great day today. God bless you.